You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here with James Millman to look ahead to four contests on Sunday, both from the UK and over in Ireland. It's Alex Dunn, Will Smith and Mick Norton in the Racing Radio studio on Sunday afternoon. We're racing at Carlisle and Southwell domestically with Cork and Punchestown across the Irish Sea. But first things first, a very good morning to James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, not too bad. Bright and early, isn't it?
Yeah, we're bleary-eyed on this Saturday when we record the podcast just before racing. We've got a good day ahead of us on Saturday, of course, and it was a good start to the international meeting on Friday at Cheltenham. Want to get your thoughts on some of the headline performers on the day, and firstly the winner of the big race, Theatre Guide, who won the Grade 3 handicap chase there. Yet another winner for Colin Tizard.
Yeah, all the big handicaps he's winning, isn't it, over fences at the moment, is Colin Tizard. Theatre Guide, disappointed rarely for him in Hennessy last time out, but first time blinkers yesterday certainly seemed to do the trick. Paddy Brennan gave him an excellent ride. Obviously he rides most of those that run in the Bishop colours, and he just got up on the line. Really unlucky for Fergal O'Brien and Perfect Candidate, who came second, but the jockey in that one, Conor Schumacher, picked up a 15-day ban, so he's gone well over the limit, and he's got beaten a nose. But if it'd been the other way around and Theatre Guide had got beaten a nose, you should have really had that horse disqualified, because for me, when you go over the rules that much with a whip, you're basically winning at all costs.
Yeah.
On Channel 4 as well, it's not to be encouraged as such to see that on terrestrial television. And like I say, he's got a big ban, it's 2-week ban, so this time of year as well isn't good, because it would have run out of Boxing Day, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I believe it commences on Boxing Day.
Yeah, so he's going to miss a massive loss. Yeah. Because obviously most jockeys are picking up a full book of rides on that day, and he's going to regret it, just at the chance of getting a winner on a big day. But like I say, for me, luckily Theatre Guide won, because I think in that kind of situation, the jockey should be disqualified, or the horse should be disqualified if a jockey goes that much over.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you make there, because the length of the ban, we're not talking about one or two strikes over the limit here. You know, we're talking about a real flouting of the rules. There's no possible way that he accidentally miscounted or anything. This was almost... the intent was clear to see.
Definitely, and that's where I think it is a little bit wrong, because like I say, for me, any jockey can go one or two over, because it's not always easy to know exactly how many you've used of your allotted amount. But if you're getting that kind of ban, I think any ban over 7 days for me should be disqualification, and that's what I'd be pushing for if I was writing the rules. Yes, you're going to get a few aggrieved punters, but it would certainly make the jockeys think twice as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The winner then, Theatre Guide, we said there, another winner for Colin Tizard. He's obviously got a stable full of real superstars to go to war with this season. Nick Luck pushed him on Channel 4 Racing both before and after this race regarding the potential participation in the King George of Q-Card and Thistlecrack. Cards very, very close to his chest for Colin Tizard. If they were yours, obviously the owners have a big say as well, but King George bound for the pair of them?
It's a very tricky situation for Colin Tizard. It's great for any trainer to have great horses like that, but when you've got two that are owned by different people, Willie Mullins generally now, most of them are owned by Rich Ritchie, so you're not really going to upset an owner. And you've obviously got Q-Car going for the £1 million bonus, going for back-to-back King George's as well. And realistically, to give him the best chance of winning, you wouldn't run Thistlecrack in the race. Thistlecrack's owners seem quite keen to run the King George. If something happens to Q-Car, they're going to be upset then that they've not gone for the King George. But for me, Thistlecrack's still a novice.
Well, I was just about to say, is it too much of a test for a novice chaser? For all he's excelled over hurdles and you know, his few starts over fences, done nothing wrong, but it's an all-out relentless gallop, the King George.
He's not had a race against seasoned campaigners. Yeah. For me, I would go King George and then the Argento where you, or the Hennessy meeting, where you can meet some of the top chasers in a slightly weaker race. Going straight from a novice to King George, I think, will be very, very difficult. Conor Gray, when he won the Gold Cup, he actually ran it at Newbury against a few second season, third season chasers. So he did pick up some valuable experience against these horses before the big day. And for me, if I was Qantas, I'd be desperately trying to get for Scratch owners to go for the Feltham and keep Q Card separately for King George. But not an easy task, yeah. That.
How much of a say in these situations do the owners have? Will it ultimately be their call?
If they really, really push it, it's their call. Yeah. Because they'll say, if you don't make the decision,
they pay the fees, yeah.
I pay the bills, and I'm sure another trainer will make that decision for you. So it is a tricky one. I'm sure they have a great working relationship, but at the end of the day, the owner pays the bills and he has the last say. But some owners will be 100% whatever their trainer says they will do.
Yeah.
Other owners have a bigger say. It all depends on the relationship between the two. But I'd say it'll be a bit of a tricky time. And to be fair, leave both of them in the race, because horses are horses and they can pick up little setbacks 48 hours before the race. So it's not, you don't want to make a decision now. There's no point saying 2 weeks in advance, Fiskrack's running this race, Cucar's going for the King George, and then something's happened and you change your mind and you get people moaning, oh, you said you were going for that race. So it's kind of like, keep your options open. Yeah. But for me, I'd keep them apart.
Yeah, that's very much how Colin Tizard came across on Channel 4, despite Nick Luck's insistence.
He
couldn't get anything out of him. We'll move on to talk about some of Sunday's action over in Ireland in just a second, James. But before we do that, I just want to get your thoughts on the jockey bookings, if you like, of the William Mullins Yard. Always very interesting. And the decision that Ruby Walsh has made, presumably, to go to Punchestown to take the ride on board Jackadam in the John Durkin, instead of what many people thought he would do and go to Cork to ride Duvan. It is a grade one versus a grade two, so there is obviously a bit more prize money there, but I think the majority of the racing public would agree that Duvan's probably the more exciting of the two, for all that Jackadam's a very good horse in his own right. What did you make of the decision from Ruby?
Possibly, although I could probably come out of retirement and ride Duvan to success at Cork, whereas Jackadam's race is a little bit more competitive, maybe. And Ruby probably wants to just get to know him a little bit better again, perhaps. It is a grade one, more prize money at Punchestown than what it is at Cork for Duval. I just think Jackadam, like I said, I'm not surprised Ruby has gone there. To be fair, he's in a very good position. He's not upsetting an owner. Again, a little bit like the Fear de Grad Thistle Crack example. Basically, if they're owned by the same person, you're not upsetting anybody.
Yeah.
If Duval had a separate owner, you probably would be riding Duvan, because that owner's going to get a little bit upset that Ruby's chosen the other horse. But like I say, Patricia owns both of them. I'm sure they had a good chat as well. I'm sure the owner was perfectly happy with either choice. And also as well, it gives Paul Tannen a chance to ride him. And something might happen to Ruby. Ruby has had a lot of injuries in the past, and then you don't want him to be riding him for the first time maybe in the Champion Chase this season. So like I say, it's a good chance for Paul to have a ride on him, have a sit on him. Realistically, we will discuss the race later, but he's just going to have a count around, I'd imagine, as usual. And it'll be a good opportunity for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very good opportunity for Paul Tanner. Ruby Walsh then taking the ride on board Jackadam over at Punchestown. We'll move on then to discuss some of Sunday's action now. We'll start in the UK and then go over to Ireland a little bit later on. We begin with the 1:35 race at Carlisle. This is a handicap chase over 3 miles and 2 furlongs. It's a Class 3 event with a field of 10 lining up to contest this, and quite a few old familiar faces in here, James. Could almost be a veterans chase.
Yeah, definitely. And we've got a few southern trainers going up to Carlisle. For me, the most eye-catching one is West of the Edge, trained by the excellent Dr. Richard Newland. And this one won very, very well 29 days ago. Sam Tristan Davis booked for the ride. He looks just the type to do extremely well for this yard and run up a little bit of a sequence, getting plenty of weight from his rivals. And for me, he's the obvious selection. But you've got a couple in here from the south that are interesting. Dana Mix, trained by Neil Mulholland, and Sarok, trained by Venetia Williams. Both of these have been a little bit disappointing recently. They are dropping in the handicap down into a 0-1.25, so it's slightly easier than some of the tasks they've faced recently. Sarok was a beaten favourite on his comeback, to suggest that Connections 48 he'd summered well and he could be having a good season, so he's definitely interesting for Venetia. And Danny Mix hasn't shown much recently, but he's got tongue tie and cheek pieces on. Noel Feely takes a ride. He could bounce back at some stage. So keep an eye on the market for Danny Mix. And the other one to mention is the Northern trained Ballyben. He's a course distance winner, so got plenty of experience here at Carlisle. Brian Hughes is riding extremely well at the moment. I think he was jockey of the month in November. And also Malcolm Jefferson's team is in absolutely brilliant form. So he's pretty consistent. He provided a guide to the form. I just think West of the Edge could be well handicapped for Stuart Newland and Sam Twiston Davis.
West of the Edge, then, the choice for James in race number one at Carlisle on the podcast today. We move over to the 210 then. This is the next race on their card. A handicap hurdle here over 3 miles and a furlong again. 10 runners down to contest this. So similar trip to the one we were discussing last time. But hurdlers in action here, James.
Yeah, Potemps qualifier for Cheltenham. That's obviously the main aim for a lot of these. So you never know quite what's going to happen in these Potemps qualifiers. Last year won by Grand National winner Pinot Duray. So it's always a competitive contest. He was 12 winning that contest. And we've got a 13-year-old, Nakara Bow, makes his comeback of the season. He's got plenty of course distance form. He's very well handicapped now, actually. Off 1.38. A very classy individual. Jan Feltacek coming over for the ride. But he is 13 now, rising 14 in a month's time. So he isn't getting any younger, and it's hard to know exactly how much enthusiasm or form remains, but it was great to see him in action, so I'll keep an eye out on him. But a lot of these have been a little bit disappointing. Gervais Chambertin is a horse who's always promised a lot for the pipes, just hasn't really produced it, and it's a worry how much he's going to progress, because the family don't tend to last very long, and he's 8 years old now. But he can go well for us, 204 days off the track for Gervais Chambertin. He did win two starts back. Generally he's been highly campaigned. This is slightly easier than a lot of races he's running, and David Pike wouldn't be taking up to Carlisle if he didn't think he had a good chance. So I can certainly see Gervais Chambertin running a big race. Well, those that are more consistent, keep an eye out on Jenny's Day for Katie Price at the bottom of the weight. Ben Post takes off £3. So he only got 9 and 11 on his back, so getting plenty of weight from his rivals. Off a marker 1-2-2. Be in excellent form. Won three starts back and placed every time since then, and that's key against some of these. A lot of them have been very, very disappointing recently, and Jenny's Day could be an interesting each-way option, so that'll probably be the selection in what's a pretty trappy Potemps qualifier.
Okay, then, it's the bottom weight for James, Jenny's Day, then for Casey Price and Ben Post. We go over to Ireland now to look at a couple of the big races there. We start at Punchestown with their feature race. This is the 2 o'clock, the John Durkin Memorial Chase. It's a Grade 1 event over 2.5 miles. Five runners have assembled. Willie Mullins responsible for three of them, and Gigginstown, the other two. A very familiar look to the big races in Ireland.
Yeah, definitely. Willie Mullins got three of them, like you say. And Jacques Adam, obviously the number one. Bit of a frustrating season last year, that fall at Cheltenham in January. Just put him off his stride a little bit. I think he picked up a nasty injury, and it just meant he missed a block of work. And perhaps was a little bit short going into the Gold Cup. He's run an absolute cracker there, and he's a very, very decent horse on his day, is Jacques Adam. Competitive little contest, though, isn't it? Sub-Lieutenant's had a good season for Henry de Bromhead. He's won his last two outings. He's only 7 years old. He's open to progression. Brian Cooper takes a ride. He's definitely the main danger to Jacques Adam. He's having a very good year. Black Hercules, first run of the season for him. He obviously had a cracking novice campaign last year. First time against the older horses, and he is interesting. Whether he's quite good enough to beat Jacques Adam, you'd imagine that Ruby had the choice between the two of them, and Ruby's clearly gone for Jacques Adam. I think he will get the job done. Oviova's Outlander, probably not quite good enough. The second string of Gigginstown's stud. And the other Willie Mullins horse, Alaki Inouye, has had a very profitable season. But again, I think he's probably going to lack a little bit of class of the top three in the market. I'm going to stick with Jacques Adam, though. I think he can get a job done. Having the service of the Ruby Walsh is going to be key on this occasion.
Okay, won the race last year under Ruby Walsh as well. Jacques Adam, so bidding to retain his crown at Punchestown on Sunday. The final race then that we'll come to on the podcast is the 2:15 at Cork. This is a Grade 2 chase over 2 miles and a furlong. Eight runners have lined up for it, which could be crucial, James, because I imagine we're going to have a very skinny-priced favourite in the shape of Duvan.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think I could come out of retirement and ride Duvan to success because he's an absolute machine. Shame we didn't see him in the Tingle Creek, but obviously William Mullins was able to win the race of Under Sir anyway, and he's just a step above any other two-mile chaser we've got at the moment. And as his novice campaign, he never, ever out of first gear, really. Never looked like being beaten, and this looks a good starting point, to be honest, for him. To be fair, Gil Gamboa, no mug, trained by Edna Bolger, a good second on his comeback 4 weeks ago. He's interesting, but he's no Duvan. Probably the game changer would be the one I put up as the each way option, but just because he ran some good races at Cheltenham, Aintree, etc. behind Duvan last spring. He does not win, basically. They tried kicking on a long way out last time when he was behind Gil Gamboa, and that tactic didn't work. But ridden more patiently, not trying to beat Duvan as such, but trying to get the pieces that could see him finish second. So probably put up the game changer, to be honest, is the alternative, just because of the way he needs to be ridden. It's not ideal for trying to win a race because he's a bit of a character, but sometimes when you've got a horse like Duvan in opposition, it's a good way to pick up the pieces.
Okay, the game changer then, Gordon Elliott and Jack Kent. It's interesting you say that, to be fair, because probably the best chance you've got of getting some prize money in this race is not taking Duvan on and not trying to win it, because if you do, like, it's have your throat cut and you'll end up down the field.
That is the problem, because he's got such a high cruising speed. He's a little bit like Franco was in the flat. Any horse that tried to beat Franco in the first four furlongs just completely ruined their race and they finished out the back door. So it's a little bit with Duvan and the fact that he gets a lot of horses out of their comfort zone. So those that have ridden sometimes 15, 20 lengths off the pace, yes, and they're never going to beat Duvan, but they've got no hope of beating him anyway. But it might enable him to get the pieces and obtain the best possible place and finish in second as such behind the potential. He nearly is a superstar, but I think in the top league, Duvan's going to be very, very exciting this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Duvan, the selection then, but do keep an eye on the game changer for each way purposes. Three places in that 3:15 at Cork as well, and it's likely to be about 8-1, 9-1, bar Duvan. So could be plenty of each way angles in there at Cork. Just give us a quick spin through your selections one more time, please, James.
Yeah, definitely at Carlisle, we're going to place our faith in Dr. Newland with West of the Edge. Won very nicely 4 weeks ago, and I think he can follow up under Sam Twiston Davis in the Potemps qualifier at 2:10. Took a chance on that Jenny's Day off bottom weight. Is very consistent, unlike a lot of her rivals. And of just 9 and 11 on her back, she is definitely interesting. And then it's a little bit more obvious. Over in Ireland, in the 2 o'clock, to John Durkin at Punchestown. We're going to stick with Jackadam. I think Ruby's made the right decision to go and ride him. And then in the 2:15, I can't go for Duvan because he's will win. But the game changer is our each way option. I think he can follow him home.
Very good. Thank you very much then to James Millman for his thoughts ahead of Sunday's racing. Thanks for that, James. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Yep, thank you very much.
Remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio on Sunday afternoon with Alex Dunn, Will Smith and Mick Norton in the studio. We're racing at Carlisle and Southall domestically. Cork and Punchestown over in Ireland promises to be a very good day of racing on Sunday. And best of luck with all of your bets across the weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.